My name is Jamie Weeb, and welcome to our session. It's called Do Not Pass Go, a look at Norway's monopoly on player safety. I'm really excited to introduce this session because I think Norway is one of the most fascinating gambling jurisdictions in the world. And I'm not just saying that because I happen to have some Norwegian heritage either. I met Per at a conference last September. It was on the value of CSR, and I was really struck by their approach and the approach they take to responsible growth and their use of data. At Norse Tipping, all customers must register. At Norse Tipping, all customers must register for an account and to participate in gambling activities. So when you think about BC, for instance. You have an account if you're on Play Now and you're online, but you'd only really have an account if you had an Encore card, for instance. So it's very different than the reality here. But because everyone does have an account, you have so much more data and so much more information on play. And that's why it's very interesting. And I think there's a lot we can learn about the information from having one account, but also some of the initiatives that they have taken when they've identified risk in the name of responsible growth. So I am very excited to welcome Per, and what we're going to do is we're going to have you submit questions throughout the presentation because he's going to be touching on a number of things, and then after his presentation, we'll take a look at all the questions, and I'll get to decide which ones we ask. So if you can, I think you probably are familiar with this. We've done it once. So if you could go to slido.com and use the event code NH2020, and we are in AB. So with that, I'm going to hand it over to Per. Thank you.
Thank you. Just have to find my clicker. That's the one. Okay, thank you for the invitation, first of all. I will now try to give some insight about how we've done it in Norway, according to the RG work we've done. And I can start by introducing the company like this. Let's see if it works. There it is. Norse Tipping. All the surplus go to good causes in the society, and this is what the country looks like. I think the population in Norway is more or less like British Columbia, if I'm not wrong. Is that 5.6 million Norwegian?
Closer.
Okay, yeah, so quite similar. And the company is 100% state-owned. It's owned by the Department of Culture. Was originally established in 1948. Something happened in the 90s when you got the lotteries, and the growth was massive. We have actually 420 employees, all of them working with RG. We have a small department of RG, four people, but all the employees actually working with RG questions. The profits for 2019 was about, in euros, it's about 570 million. In US dollars, it's about 800. So it's quite high to be a small population. And as you saw, the beneficiaries are sports, culture, humanitarian, and healthcare, and so on. And you see also the Norwegian fjords there, which is on the west coast. The mission for the company is like, it's a three-part mission. And the most important thing, also strategically, is the responsible gambling. Secondly, is to having attractive games to keep up a high share of market. And the third thing is like a result of the first two ones. The surplus goes to good causes. That's kind of strange because money is not mentioned here. So it's responsible gambling, which is the most important thing for us. And to go there, you need to have the management with you, of course. And they have to know what problem gambling is and also what responsible gambling should do for the company. So when we started back the work with the RG strategies back in 2013, 2014, we actually brought the management with us to do the work. And they know for sure what the problem is, what the problem is for the player, and how it works for the company as well. So, and also, many think that RG measures or features is like taking down revenue, but you have proven it's wrong, actually. So last year and the year before, it looks like this. The customer development is positive. It's grown every year, despite all the RG features. And also, the case is the same for the economy in the company. It's grown every year, despite all the RG features. And this is because you have to challenge the product and marketing side of the company to focus more on the green side in every part of the business. And also, as an outcome of this, we have actually the highest ranking, the corporate image ranking, in many years, number 5 overall in Norway at the time, which is very high. So that's good for us. It's good for consumer loyalty and so on. Let's see here. You see it's all pointing upwards here. It's revenue, GGR, profits, players, the retailers are doing good, and the digital share is growing as well, as high as 60% at the time. So it's massive. Being a tool for the government, as I said, our main goal is RG, and also to harm minimization. And to prevent problem gambling. To do that, we have to maintain our market share. So it's very important to have interesting products and product lines available for all players in Norway. So RG has actually become a tool to make sustainable growth instead of just taking down revenue. So this is what it looks like. We have a market share of 66%, and the main goal is to prevent problem gambling. And the key here is actually, as Jamie talked about, is the ID of the player. The player card, some of you may have heard of it. It's mandatory, and it's based on the social security number. So when you first time visit Norsk Tipping, you have to identify yourself to register. And it's kind of it's a strong link between the player and all the total conception of the playing. And of course, all this is also data collector, so we know actually everything about the player, which is quite interesting. Also in the RG way, not only for sales but also the RG way. Cheers. Oh, that's okay. Are you with me? Okay, yeah? You can have this one once more. Beside of the card, you can also see a cell phone here, because nowadays you don't need the card anymore to register. You can actually have the same ID through the cell phone. It's like a virtual eID, which works the same way as the card. With the PIN code and so on to access the channels. So the only place you actually need the player card now is at the inline. Do you know inline? At the cashier, at the retailers?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So in all other channels, you can actually use the cell phone to access your private account. So it works very well. So here you see, and also for the scratch tickets, we call them the Flux. The scratch tickets are not registered players. That's the only product line that's not registered. So as you see here on the top, you see the customer with the card. He should also have the cell phone. And under every channel, we have this sub-limit. We have a total loss limit through all channels, but we also have made a few sub-limits for each channel. So for instance, for the VLTs, you have a max loss limit per customer for $500 a month, $100 a day. And also for online casinos, both at the cell phone and the web, you have a total loss amount per month for $1,200. And in total, it says 2,200, but nowadays it's actually more $2,500 US dollars, maximum loss limit per player. I can go just before leave these ones. And to go there and to work with RG, back in 2014, we started to make a roadmap, more or less, which we called a responsible gaming framework, which includes a lot of different features and elements. So in the center here is a player with a card, with an ID, even if it's a card or the cell phone. We have this limit, monthly limits, loss limits, and we also have time limits, and we have in-game limitations like time in the casinos. And we have tools, different tools, like PlayScan. It's a risk analysis system to give the customer the risk level, his personal risk level. Information, of course, and also intervention for the player, where we actually call them. That's the thing we call proactive phone calls. So if you know everything about the player, so to follow my notes here. I have to tell a story where it all started, because back in 2013, there was a woman calling me. She was the sister of a player, a problem gambler, and she called, and she was quite furious, and well, in any way. She asked me straight out, my brother, he has played away his home, his family, his mother and father's money, everything actually. And the last question she asked was, how could you let it happen? And that was more or less like the starting point of the RG framework. So I couldn't answer why it was like this, but that was actually the starting point for the RG framework. So if you know everything about the players and have a sneak peek behind the curtains, more or less, you can't just turn away. So it commits. You have like a duty of care when you know what happens with the customers. So it was quite sort of an awakening, and also a chance for us to differentiate the company from our competitors, to be more responsible. So how do we identify risk with the players? We have bought this third-party application, which is called PlayScan, Identify Risk. It's like 9 different features to identify risk for each player. And we don't communicate directly to the player, PlayScan do. So it's also some kind of way to keep the integrity of the company. So we don't ourselves tell that you have a problem, but someone else do, professionals. And it actually has two purposes. The first one is to tell the customer where he is at risk, and the other one is to give us, as an operator, data and also statistics within the database. Then you can also see red players, yellow players, green players, and how many they are, where they play, actually everything like this. And this is a picture right now. At-risk players, it's like 1.4% of the customer base. And as much as 95% are in the green zone. So actually quite good. The prevalence in Norway says about 2%. But it's not the way that all the red players in Norway play at Norsk Tipping. So we have our part on share, which is 1.4%. And when you know the risk, you can also put a tag on the money, the GGR. Where do you, if you follow the money, you can see the red money as well as a red player. If a red player leaves red money, you can see it here. So for sales, GGR, overall, it's about 13% red. But as I said, it's only 1.4% of the players, which is red. And for the VLTs, it's a different story. There's as high as 38%. So all of this you get to know by following the players with data and also risk analysis. Are you with me? Okay. I was actually, this morning, Tim from the UK Commission, he told something about if you still have the chance, would you use all the tools in the box? You don't have to. Behind me you can see something we have called the no thanks list, which is also part of the framework. This is actually, if you ask me as a marketer and also the researcher I met during the years, this is more or less like a recipe for creating problem gamblers. You give them welcome bonus, free spins, VIP programs, autoplay, and you market directly to the red players. If you ask the people who are in treatment or treat people with problems, they would agree as well. This is like a recipe how to make a problem gambler. So you don't have to use all the tools in the box, even as a marketer. So the more difficult part is the measures, the KPIs. Based on the information we have on every player, both single players and also the whole database, we follow the players through, well, on a day-to-day basis, actually. And we measure the play scan index. It's kind of tricky to explain, but we give ourselves points given on the results we get in the customer base from play scan. And if you move, for instance, a player from the red zone to the green zone during the year, we give ourselves plus points, plus three. And if you move a player from the green zone to the red zone, you get minus points. And in the end of the year, you have either a plus or a minus in total. So it's better be better year for year. So that's one of them. And we also see how many players that have set the limits maximum. We have this monetary limit, which is US dollars for $2,500, yeah. And how many people had set limits. Now it's about almost 900,000 players that have set the limits themselves, personal limits. And you might think they set it quite high, up to the maximum. But the truth is that most of them, the average, is about US dollars for 500 per month. That's the average personal limit. It's not $2,500. So that's quite interesting, actually. We also do the proactive phone calls, follow them from month to month, and also the red and green money in every product line and category. The newest KPI we have is active high-risk players per week. And in average, it's about 20,000 players. It's quite high in the risk zone every week. better move downwards with all the RG features. And we also have a dashboard to follow. This is written in Norwegian. I will try to explain, but if you start from the left, we have a customer growth, which is in the green zone. The RG measure, the share of the red money, is also in the red zone. We have goals on that one. The market share, which channel players from our customers, which is also in the green zone. The corporate image rating is quite high, number five overall in Norway. So that's, we would like to be number one, but number five is quite high. So it's still in the yellow zone. And the surplus, of course, on the right side. Looks fine. There you have the PlaySCAN index. Last year we ended up just at zero. Not a plus, not a minus, but we had a good year of channeling players, many red players, because we channel red players from online gambling from, for instance, Malta, a lot of them. But it was much better than last year. You see the bottom line there is 2018, and the blue one is 2019. And we ended up in zero, more or less. And as you can see, when you follow this from week to week, you have some green upward lines, then it's green, then, for instance, week number five there, which is red. And this way it goes on during the year. Yeah, here you can see as well more RG indicators. Casino, online casino, quite red. Doesn't look fine. The sports betting, also quite red. The VLTs are quite red. But we follow them every month to try to reduce the red zone. High-risk players per month, almost 30,000 unique players. Long-term high-risk players, that is it's a definition of if you are red more than 50% of the last 52 weeks. That's a new measure. So that's quite interesting to follow now. And also the number of big losers, as we call them. Some call them VIP customers. In our vocabulary, it's big losers. So it's how you define it, actually. Yeah. So you follow all these numbers from a week to week and also a monthly basis. So when you know everything about the customer, it's an obligation or duty of care, I think. Okay?
Okay.
Are we on time or maybe before?
Oh, yeah? Yeah?
I'm afraid so.
Okay, so let's take this back. So, what year did you implement the mandatory?
The mandatory loss limit. It was implemented.
No, mandatory, like everyone has to have.
Ah, the registration. Yeah, it was done actually back in 2009. Mandatory. But we started registered players in 2001. And that was not for RG purposes. It was about selling more, CRM-wise.
So what was the reaction? There had to be some negative reaction to...
Yeah, almost nothing, actually. Because they got fast prize payouts.
What do you mean?
When they won a prize, it was directly paid out to the player's account. Instead of going to the retailers or the
so
bank.
So they saw some real benefits in having an account.
Yeah.
Do you think any of these measures have pushed people to the gray market?
The myth says so.
The what?
The myth.
Myth.
Yeah, says so. But if you ask the players, and when they, for instance, the registration itself doesn't push any player to the gray market,
okay.
You know, for sure. And some of some would like to say probably that if you for the mandatory limits, if you reach a limit, they would try to play elsewhere. We ask the customers, and only 10% of the players go further. 90% stay low for the rest of the month and start again playing at us, our site, then the next month.
Okay. So this phone call, so you identify people in high risk.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, right?
Yeah.
And you call them.
Yeah.
And so, like, problem gambling is complex, right? It's individual, societal, like, it's multifaceted, the underlying factors associated with problem gambling. So I'm curious as to how a phone call is changing behavior so much.
I think, first of all, the player gets all the information about himself that he didn't have. And they also underestimate their losses, most of them. If you ask a player how much he lost, for instance, for the last year, he would probably say, let's say, about 30,000 Norwegian kroners, and the facts are three times as high in average. So given the right information, they may be able to have some caring or put a little push in the back to make the right choices.
Yeah.
So it's based on a motivated interview.
Yeah.
To take them down to take the good decisions down the road.
So there would be though. Would there be some players that have the part of a gambling, the problem gambling disorder, which is impaired control? So, you know, it's not a matter of not having information.
Not anymore. No.
But they stay in the red. Week after week after week. Is there any, like, at some point, do you make a decision to say, to impose a decision that they can no longer gamble?
No.
Okay.
No. We don't intervene that way.
Okay.
No. It's only based on to give them information, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. Facts and information. Yeah.
I'm going to ask some of
the
real questions. The real questions.
I will try.
Oh, this is a good one. Okay, so what are you, and you can't say nothing. What are the downsides you encounter with complete tracking of the patrons?
The downsides? For who?
Doesn't specify,
no.
Just says what are.
For us, it's only upsides. So
yeah.
for the customer, I can't see any downsides at all.
Well, if I might clarify my question.
Okay, yeah?
Oh, can you just wait till you get the mic?
Sure. Careful, I might not give it back. Well, the idea I was having is it's about the perceived downsides that you might encounter for people. Some people are very remiss to be tracked at all, and I'm wondering what hurdles you've encountered with this.
That was also, we had the same thoughts before we began, but there was no reaction at all.
Awesome.
Yeah, actually. There might be a privacy question here. By sharing and intervene, but no reaction there as well. So it's quite positive for all parties, I think.
I have another question. What customer segments are driving your growth?
Of course, the online casinos, I'm afraid.
Sorry?
The online casinos, I'm afraid so. And also sports betting. But we have managed to keep a high share of lotteries, which is, I think it's almost over 60% of the total amount of the money, the lotteries. But the growth are coming in the online casinos. We will take market shares from the online gamblers, online operators on Malta, unregulated operators.
If I'm asking a question of anyone out here and it's not, there was more to the question, just let us know. So you gave that story about the woman who called about her brother.
Yeah.
Are you saying that was the situation that?
That was a single situation that started it all. Then we had this a few days later. We had a workshop with a manager, top management. To work actually with that situation. What do you actually do for the next conversation like this? And also the reputation side for the company. So that's where it all started, actually. And we also, to have a clear understanding through the whole company of what RG is, and also problem gambling, we had a session on the scene in front of all of the employees with a player, problem gambler, with his actually psychologist, they had a treatment session on the stage in front of all employees, and that was kind of a turning point as well. We sat on the stage in front of 400 employees telling the story. It's crazy.
Wow.
It's quite, it was quite in the whole room for 1.5 hours. So then you actually managed to see a problem gambler, which looks like more or less like the others of us, and the problems that the playing habit caused for him. Yeah.
Fascinating.
It's crazy. That's a crazy story, actually.
Sorry, I'm just, there's so many I just want to pick. Talk amongst yourselves. Is there an issue of illegal gambling within the country due to the restrictions in place?
Once more, please.
Sorry?
Can I repeat it?
Is there an issue with illegal gambling in Norway?
Oh, yeah.
As a result of the restrictions?
Not because of the restrictions, but more that they want to have a license because they are chasing the money, of course, in Norway. So online gambling, unregulated, is quite heavy. Well, it's not heavy, but they have a 14% market share. And by law, it's actually illegal. So that's a fight with the gaming authorities and also the Department of Culture and also the media to stop all the commercials from Malta sending from the UK. So it's kind of different, difficult, but I think in the end, we will go there. To take them away. Probably,
I know this is kind of not a fair question. It's not a fair question at all, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Mm. Do you think that there's cultural differences, meaningful cultural differences between Norway and, say, Canada when it comes to some of the strategies that you're using to reduce harms?
Yeah, it might be. I think so.
Okay.
Actually, it's cultural differences within Norway as well. So, I think you can't just take one feature and bring it over to another market and suspect that it should work the same way in Canada or Norway or England or somewhere else. But you just have to try to find out. Just try.
Right.
Yeah.
What are the cultural? I'm curious. What are the cultural differences in Norway?
It's a long country from the north to the south, and also, we are different.
You don't want to talk about that?
No.
Okay, we'll talk. we'll have some wine
later.
We'll talk about that. I was curious.
Can I just add for the illegal side of the market? Because yep. The 14% on the national helpline. They actually have, they represent 95% of the problems.
Okay, wait, what?
The 40% illegal market, they represent 95% of the calls at the helpline.
So you know that 40%?
14% of the market share for the illegal ones.
Represents
95% of the...
Wow.
Yeah. So we have identified the problem, really. And it's mostly online casinos.
So what are your plans to do with?
Well, we don't have any plans operator, but our owner, the Department of Culture, and also the National Gaming Authorities, are chasing those guys down at Malta.
Oh.
Probably, yeah. But it has to change the laws, of course, to make this happen. Yeah.
It's gonna be a rumble.
Yeah, it is already. Already, we have the last year we had three fights in the court. So it's every time we meet them in court.
Well, I was curious about this too, and actually there's a few questions. You talked about the limits. How were they set? The deposit and spending limits.
The mandatory loss limits?
Yeah.
How they are set for the customer?
How did you decide?
The decision process or,
mm-hmm.
yeah?
Yeah.
The most difficult thing was to find the right level. If you put in US dollars 2,500 or 2,000 or 3,000, what's the correct level? So we asked a lot of researchers and workshops and also players, and we ended up to start with 20,000 Norwegian kroners, which is about $2,500. And it seems to have worked out quite well. But the initiative was taken about financial harm minimization for a short period of time. So it's like a minimum protection. We set the limits, and the customer can set the limits himself under our limits, lower than our limits.
Doctor, we have a question, sorry, from the floor, if you guys have a minute.
Okay.
What is the compelling value proposition that makes people want to gamble with your service?
First of all, we have a lot of, the gaming portfolio is quite good, and also fast prize payouts. Just seconds after you win a prize, you have money on your personal account. So that's, and also the security and access all the channels by one channel. So, yeah, that's mostly that. And they also, of course, get good information. As I told in the other session here, if you access your bank and you see only 70% of the information from the bank, you would be curious, wouldn't you? So it's 100% correct data set presented for the player.
Per, I'm interested. I know in 2009 when you brought in the mandatory player card, and I'll pitch the session tomorrow. We're going to talk more about that tomorrow. But it was actually marketing. But in 2013, you realized the data that you had. You made it responsible gambling as part of your pillar, your main pillar. But when I look at that data and you're seeing problem gamblers or those at high risk delivering more than 50% of the revenue in some of those gaming channels, what would it take for you to say that gaming channel is not worth it in Norway?
We have actually been discussing that question for the last year about the VLTs.
Well, that's the one. 53% is high.
Yeah, and we ended up that's a very good question, actually, because we saw, despite the registration and the player card and the ID systems, we saw a security hole there. And the hole is one player controlling some other accounts as well. Not one of them, but many of them. And it actually ended up with some people trading cards, renting them out for $20 a month, and also they wanted to have about 20% cut for the prices. So you actually got a trade market there. It was crazy. So instead of closing down the channel, we added one more security level, which is the one-time password on the cell phone. And instantly, we got a revenue drop for 25% from one day to another. 25%.
But you're still in discussions about whether or not the channel stays?
The channel stays now, I think. Yeah. We just had to work with the security more, I guess. Yeah. It's too much money to just lay aside.
Any other questions?
No?
What do you see as your priorities now?
For the next coming year or?
Next 5 years, let's say. You're coming back in 5 years. What are you telling us?
Actually, we're working with real-time communication, RG communication. So that's the next step, I guess. So real-time interventions.
So what is the lag between, someone's in red on PlayScan and a contact's being made?
Yeah. First of all, now our RG communication is based on PlayScan, the messages from PlayScan. But now we will like to control the messages and information ourselves at the right time, in the right channel, at the right moment. So you actually get the message in the future where you are, either on the cell phone, the VLTs, or actually where you are in the system. That's the next step.
So you feel like it's best to have the message at the time of gambling rather than after when you're maybe...
the, all of the business rules are not set still, but they're
okay.
working with it. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. So I think also that the player card will fade away for the next coming years. Because you have this EID on the cell phone. So if you already have a card, you can use the card, but you don't issue new cards, maybe in 5 years.
Do you have people using other people's cards? Is that a problem?
It used to be, until the one-time password came along on the cell phone.
So can you explain that a bit?
Yeah, I can try.
Although this probably will be touched upon.
It has to go back on the personal level for the player, because you can't duplicate any information from one player to another. For instance, you can't have the... First of all, it's based on the ID is based on the personal security number. And the next thing is that they have a personal bank account number, a personal cell phone number, and everything is stored in the data system. And when you log on, for instance, on the VLT, if I lend you my card and you press my PIN code, for instance, on the VLT, I get a message on the cell phone. So if you want to play on my card, you need my phone as well to get the message. But I don't lend you my iPhone.
Does anyone else? No?
No.
Okay. So I can't use your cell phone.
So it's actually, that's all about the three-factor ID. The first one is something you have, which is the card or the cell phone. The other one is something you know, like the PIN code or password. And the third thing is something you get, which is the one-time password.
Who else is doing this in the world?
No one.
Sweden?
They have cards with PIN codes, two-factor. No one is using the three-factor. Not even my bank are using the three-factor.
We have another question from the floor.
Yeah.
I was just curious, for your wellness call center staff, what training do you guys offer them beyond motivational interviewing?
The ones calling?
Yeah.
First of all, they have been working in the company in the customer service for many years. And they get this training, which is quite long, actually. They have courses, university studies about the phone calls and motivating interviews. And then they just start calling and learn from each other. But we keep them educated during the time that goes. Was that okay? Yeah? Yeah?
Motivational interviewing, is that like the foundational training that you guys go off of? Or do you have other programs that you really focus on
for their education?
I'm not sure if I understand, but...
In addition to, so they get the training to how to have the conversation.
Yeah.
Is there other training that goes along with that?
Yeah, a lot of e-training, e-programs, e-learning programs.
Do you measure anything other than change in behavior as a result of these calls, change of gaming behavior? So are there any metrics associated with the interaction in the call that you would monitor success? It's funny that you bring up motivational interviewing, because a few of us actually took a 3-day motivational interviewing course a couple weeks ago, and it's complicated. It's an art, right? And so, but I wonder, there's almost movements in that call, you know, taking someone from pre-contemplation to contemplation.
Yeah.
Like that alone, it might be a baby step, but it would be an indicator of success.
Yeah, we log everything from the conversation. We also have this project with Jacob going on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So we register everything that goes on in the phone call. We see what works, what do not work. And also the different market segments, which one technique works too and the other one doesn't work. So just to get better all the time.
Do you track treatment uptake? Can you tell if people are going to get help as a result of calls?
Yeah.
You have that information?
We log it on the... We keep it in the log if you are trying to get help.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Seamus?
I think one of the things that we would be concerned about here is that you could imagine, say, in family disputes or whatever, lawyers would go after you legally to get the information. Are there privacy protections that...
For the player?
For the player's data.
Yeah. There, of course, is privacy... we have a deal, a customer deal with a customer, but it's all set, so we don't share any information with a third party, even, well, only in crime cases. So it's, the privacy is quite strong in Norway, and a violation is also quite expensive.
Increasing the green zone versus reducing the red zone, and do you work with different of your products when you see?
Yeah, you're trying to develop the green products or develop the products that already are in place to develop more to the green zone. For instance, sports betting, we try to get, for instance, women to play more. It's more like yes or no betting. So we try to work with in the green zone as well as the red zone then, with the products. So we are also chasing money in the green zone. Of course we are.
Of course you are.
Yeah.
Per, I want to hear something that hasn't worked. Words of wisdom from you in your experience.
We're going down
our own path. Yeah. What can you tell us that we can just right now, you know, take a different road because it's not a help?
Maybe. It depends on the time and the culture. But maybe it's time to just pass the player cards. I don't know. Maybe.
To what?
Pass the player card. You don't go for the player card. I don't know how modern the market is, but in Norway, if I started now, I would not launch a player card.
You would go straight to your mandatory ID?
I would go straight to the eID on the cell phone.
Oh.
Yeah. And
interesting.
But that's the Scandinavian market. I don't know how it's here.
Completely understand, you would not do the player card because...
No.
Or the player card because...
Because you can lend the card to a third... Well, you get trading by cards. By having, it's quite heavy for security to have the card, many million cards out there in the system. So if you can avoid the problem for security, to have one player having lots of profiles to play on, I would go straight to the cell
phone. I wonder if there's anyone from security here that has a comment on that.
Yeah, that's probably the easiest way to get started, I think. Then you don't have to distribute anything at all.
We have a really bad thing with dealing with situations where we're stuck with what's considered an LNU, and anybody in ECLC that deals with our database system knows that LNUs are rampant. There's way too many of them.
Yeah.
We have a system like this. One of the very first slides that you put up said money launder.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never mind just here. It's a major issue everywhere. Putting a system in like that, sure there's going to be privacy issues, but you eliminate a lot of the criminality that goes on within the casino systems doing that. With even on a smaller scale with security, whatever. even with a smaller system on a smaller scale with security issues, if any situation where we have to remove somebody from a casino and we have to deal with a policing after the fact, or if it goes to the BCLC investigators where they have to track down the steps that they have to take to find out who this person is, that's all eliminated with that card or with that ID system.
Yeah.
You know, we know who that person is right away. There's no guessing. There's no anything. It's there.
You can also take a look at the young generation growing up. How many cards do they have in the pocket?
Everybody's got a cell phone.
Garth?
I was just going to ask, are you looking at facial recognition?
No. Just fingerprint. But actually, that biometrics by cell phone, that works fine. So you don't have to use the PIN code anymore and the cell phone as well. You just use your thumb. Yeah.
So when I'm in the audience and I'm responsible for watching the time, and I flash the time to the people that are speaking and they completely ignore me, I often wonder, how is it that you don't see that I'm going five? And you've been flashing five for a long time, and I've become one of those people. So we're gonna have one more question, but Pear's available. You're gonna be at the reception tonight, and so you can ask further questions. And so we'll have one more question, then we're gonna have to end this session.
So maybe this kind of ties in or speaks to the cultural piece. Everyone, you would like to see everyone in Norway have a cell phone. So for your elder population, or is that a problem?
They also have a smartphone.
Oh,
yeah.
Cultural.
Yeah. I think our oldest customer now is 107 years old, with a cell phone, actually, yeah. Crazy Norwegians.
That's impressive. Anyway, a big round of applause. Thank you so much.
Thank you.